Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 29, the third paragraph. We hope no one will consider ending with, I must have this thing. So we'll be closing out, there is a solution today. Today's readers are Kimberly G. on the 12 Steps, Penny C. on the 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Marjo. Judith S.P. will be closing out the reading, and Sally A. is our backup this morning. We also have our newcomer greeter is Reba P., and the host of our second meeting will be Jeannie B., and doing our announcements is Kathy S. So the reference numbers for yesterday, on Tuesday, April 7th, the 7 a.m. is 23345, and the 10 a.m. is 23346. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. The OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Kimberly G. to get started on the 12 steps. Kimberly, star one.
Sorry about that. Good morning. This is Kimberly G. from Montana. I'm a recovering Overeaters Anonymous. So, the 12 steps of Overeat Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of persons we harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice our principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Kimberly G. from Montana. 12 traditions, Penny C., would you read those for us?
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always remain personal. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks so much, Penny C. So how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. That is open for everyone. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book, and again we're on page 29, the very last paragraph, the third paragraph. We hope no one will consider ending with, I must have this thing. And Marjo, will you get us started on that reading?
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity to do service. Marjo, recovered in Massachusetts. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women desperately in need will see these pages, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded to say, quote, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. And in the parentheses, I wrote recovery. You know, and I get a kick out of, I hope no one will consider that this self-revealing account is in bad taste. But we have to remember when this book was written, and people didn't talk a lot about themselves and their troubles. Some of it was alcoholic, as far as, you know, let's keep a secret, which was never a secret, and neither was my overeating. How could it be when you're 5'2", weigh 195 pounds, that somebody had to realize, people realized what was going on. And I tried every diet from here to, you know, 10,000 miles away, whoever, whatever magazine, whatever the diet of the month was, I was on it, or whatever the new health club was in the 70s, I was there, you know, and I would lose all these inches per week. And then, but as soon as I ever stopped following a food plan, and always struggled with, why can't I have one piece of this? I've lost 12 pounds or I've lost 15 pounds because everybody kept telling me, just eat in moderation. One of these and one of those, you know, won't hurt you. Well, no, not them, but it hurt me because I would hurt myself with food. I would be off and running. And what a relief it is to come here and to read this book and to study. And even way back when I first came, I was exposed to this book. So I feel very blessed and fortunate regarding that. But just the whole idea that for me, this is for me, it's easier not to have any of that, whatever it is that wants me to want more and want more, easier for me to live without it than it is to try to have a little of this or a little of that. But I'm fortunate. I came in my late 30s. I'm 80 now. I've been able to, you know, stay the course and grow and change and continue to do the step work, because that's the secret sauce, as far as I'm concerned, is doing the step work and sharing what you learned and being open and honest with yourself, because I never knew how to do that. I was so full of shame over my eating and my behaviors. And, you know, that has changed. Am I perfect? No. Thank you. We have step 10. And again, with step 11, you can do step 11 all day long. There's not a certain time or a certain date. Step 11 can be from the minute you come in the door. If you really recognize it, this is it. You know, this is the place that's going to help me, and this is what I need to learn how to do. So I love this. I am one of them, too. I must have this thing, and I must have this thing, because my body can't handle it, and my mind can't leave it alone once it's ingested. So thank you for this opportunity, and I pass.
Thanks for getting us started, Marge O. We appreciate you. And so now we'll go ahead and we'll take 3-minute shares. The line is open for that. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Julie B.
Nick in Tennessee.
Julie B.
Reva P.
Nick. Reva.
Nancy P.
Nancy, gotcha. So far I have Billy B, Nick, Reva P, Nancy P.
Judith S. P.
Gotcha, Judith. All right, let's start right there, and then we will have room for more. So, Billy B., and I hope I have your name correct, please get us started, and you'll be followed by Nick in Tennessee.
Thank you so much. This is Julie B. I live in Ohio, and I'm going to start my timer. Thank you so much. Yeah, hi, good morning. You know, there's a really fun little saying that sticks with me and someone in our program. I'm the real Bill, and that's me. Like, I am the real deal here. And, you know, in my disease, I would have eaten my fingers if I could have. There were times when I was so just shoving the food in and shoving the emotions down. And today in my recovery, I am working on, you know, in my reading this morning, it's just like, you know, recovery to me is actually feeling my feelings, which sounds like the worst thing because I want to just abandon. I just want to run. I just want to look away. I just want to do something else and destruct. But I know that a part of my disease is silent, and it just makes me want to like shove down how I'm feeling or what I need to say. You know, I also love the idea of I'm just checking into my actually work now, so that's nice. I'm sorry, I totally lost my train of thought, but I'm just very grateful. And I totally lost that. Sorry, you guys. Again, Julie B., not the best chair, but I'm here and I'm grateful. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks so much. Julie B. from Ohio. Nick, come on in, and you're going to be followed by Reva P.
Good morning, family. My name is Nick S. in Tennessee. Can I be heard?
You sure can, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. thank you to the opening, to the person that led first, said they were 30, and now they 80, and some of my son says, I don't be understanding, but I just felt it in my spirit, said clock that T, like, that is amazing, and I'm in my 30s, and you know, when I read this, it says, I must have this thing. For me, that thing is God. You know, I was a minister at one point. I had God, but when the other evangelists and ministers left the house, I was too tired to wash the dishes, but I wasn't too tired to fix another plate. So I don't need the God where I get to stand in a pulpit and tell other people how to live, and I can't get it right myself. And then I had abstinence. I gave away 350 pounds, went from a 5 and 6X to a size small and a medium. But I wanted nothing to do with God at all. Very resistant. And so now I'm crawling. This thing I must have is God. Not a God in a pulpit. Not a God that'll make me thin, but a God that'll keep me for the rest of my life. Because I lost 350 pounds, but I gained 115 pounds back in less than 10 months. And it's not so much for me about the weight, because at 560 pounds, that's when the pain in my brain became so unbearable. I could not think my next thought. All my thoughts were death. And without this thing that I've been getting since I came to Vision, even though I relapsed, my life changed dramatically because I cracked the door just a little bit to the God of not my understanding, but your understanding, because left to myself, my God is food. Everything I do is alcoholic. Everything, the way I spend, the way I eat, the way I mother, everything is alcoholic. I just get it wrong, 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 and I'm out of my mind. But I'm crawling to God. I still got the door cracked. I'm still resisting just a little bit. But today, you know, I'm really trying to get to this God. I believe in these stories and your stories and your service, letting me know that it's something else. I've gave away about 30 pounds, and my brain don't hurt no more since I've been abstinent. I've been abstinent 75 days, and I tell my sponsor, with this I pass, anybody doing this type of work that she got me doing, you can't help but get recovered. So, yes, I want to be recovered, but I don't want to be recovered and then give it back again. So I want a God that'll give me staying and keeping power for the rest of my life. With that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thanks, Nick F. from Tennessee. And Reva P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Nancy P.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I'm reading this paragraph, and it's just an amazing gratitude for me. I was desperately in need. I was desperate when I came to OA. And what did I come to? I came to speaker meetings where people fully disclosed themselves and their problems. And what does that mean, fully disclosing themselves? You know, I heard people then, and to this day, hearing people share and reveal and explain and educate what is a real compulsive overeater. You know, that whole allergy of the body, I could identify with right away. The twist of the mind, the ism of this disease, I didn't really understand until the food was down and I saw what it was like to be abstinent without power before I had fully worked through the steps. So I am so grateful that people disclosed themselves, what it means to be a real compulsive overeater and their problems. And hey, I thought the problem was the food too. And I realized that wasn't the problem at all, that the food was the solution. And the other thing, when I read the word problems, I think of, oh yeah, problems. Okay, these people had problems, they worked the steps, and poof, all the problems of life went away, and now everybody's living in nirvana, and that's what I'm aiming for. But when I heard people share their, quote, problems, the circumstances of their lives, the if-onlys in the external circumstances had nothing to do with recovery, when I could see people that recovered because of, in spite of, awful circumstances, that was attractive. And you know, for me, the purpose of the qualifications, the stories, whether it's in the book or at a meeting, is to motivate me to do the clear-cut instructions. And so it says, you know, the personal stories get me curious, like I want what you have. And you're telling me that if I do what you do, I will have what you have. So it's this big circle. I want to do the clear-cut instructions because I want what you have because it's so attractive. So I am so grateful that people continue to be the big show-and-tell examples of what it looks like to be recovered, and they describe what they do, and that keeps me motivated to keep doing what I need to do to stay here, to have this thing, this recovery, this relationship with power. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. And Nancy P., you are up.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P. recovered in Westmont, Massachusetts. Yeah, I'm with Reva. This is not like a diagnostic thing for me. I don't ever question anymore about whether or not I am one of them. I've had my book for decades, and I've read these steps zillions and jillions of times, and I never thought about it one way or the other. But when I was really ready to get better, I was insanely focused on getting what the promises are. And not when I read it with my sponsor, it's when I, as I began to actually get better, not just the reading. I mean, it felt better when I was doing the reading, but I hadn't gotten better. And when I actually, you know, was at the end of my learning process, you know, first I learned to read, then I read to learn, you know, like first I read it, then I did it. When I actually started my actual recovery, nothing could get in my way at all. And, you know, I felt like I had the mother of all excuses not to, you know, my life was hard. My daughter was hacking herself up with a razor blade and burning herself to a crisp. And my marriage was strained and my job sucked. And, you know, I hated myself and it was everything that everybody else feels. I mean, I'm not special. But, you know, those were all excuses. And I used to invite them in with engraved invitations, please come and screw up my life. And they said, absolutely, we'll take care of everything. You don't have to worry about a thing. And once I stopped inviting those excuses in, I became like laser focused on attaining, you know, what was promised. And I can say that just like everybody else, once I did what the book said, in the order that it said, in the way that it said, and I didn't stop for breath or, you know, sleep or breath or anything else, I got every single thing that it said. Every single promise in this book has come true for me in spades. And, you know, every day is better than the last. You know, my life was unbelievable when I first realized that I wasn't eating compulsively, and it has gotten better every single day. Every single day is better than the last. Today was better than yesterday, and I have every confidence that tomorrow will be better than today. And I have one thing, and one thing only, to blame it on, and say it with me, surrender, 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 and with that I'll pass.
Thanks, Nancy P. from Boston. So let me remind everybody where we are, and then Judith will be speaking, and then we'll be taking a new list. We are on page 29, the third paragraph, closing out the chapter, There is a Solution. The paragraph begins, We hope no one will consider. So Judith SP, you are up next. And please, everybody, just double check that you're on mute. We heard a little bit of background noise. So just make sure, star one, just to make sure you're muted if you have spoken. Judith SP, you are up.
Okay. Thank you so much, Barbara. My name is Judith SP, living in Maryland, and truly grateful to God for my recovery and all the incredible gifts that are before me every moment when my eyes are open. And this paragraph brings, you know, this chapter to a close. And to know that there finally is, was, and will be a solution for all my problems, I have to turn all over to to my higher power. And then I'm home, and I'm always home. You know, we hope, our hope is that many alcoholic men and women desperately in need, and I am truly desperately in need. Sometimes it overcomes me, and I'm surprised. I was at an activity last night, and I just felt I didn't belong. You know, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go and eat worms. Well, I've eaten more than I never ate worms, but you can get an idea of what I did eat. And the sense of not belonging, to not to be in a place where I can develop and become the me that God has always wanted and created me to be. And the hope, you know, there's two hopes in this one paragraph. And many of the stories too, but the chapters always end on a hopeful note. And I also realized that there are three H's for me that I need to carry close in my heart. And that's honesty, full disclosure, humility. We hope, our hope is that many alcoholics will consider our offerings in good taste, not bad taste. And then it comes honesty, humility. Honesty, Judith, where is the H? Honesty, humility, and I'm losing the last H that I know lives in my heart. And hope. Yes, honesty, humility, and hope. When I carry those three deep in my heart, soul, I know I belong. I know I'm one of the folks who is in recovery and working daily, many times daily, on becoming the child that God has created us to be, so that I can walk in the sunlight of the Spirit and move on and have the purpose that God has brought me here to be. So with that and a froggy throat, I pass. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Judith S.P. Perfect timing. Okay, so let me go ahead and take another list of names. And just a reminder, although we value your experience, if you've shared in the last 3 days, please step back so others might share their experience too. Who else would like to share?
Sally H.
I heard Sally.
Yes.
Dina.
Jennifer C.
Andy.
Jennifer. And was that Andy?
Suzanne D.
Suzanne D. Got you. Suzanne.
Betty Jean M.
Betty Jean.
Pat H.
Was it Pat H?
Yes.
And who came in with you? Joy, got you. All right, let's stop there. And we still may have time for another, but just in case, Sally A, Tina S, Jennifer C, Suzanne D, Betty Jean M, Pat H, and Joy L. And I'm so sorry if I missed anybody. Yeah, we should have time maybe for one more. Sally A, why don't you start us off, and you'll be followed by Tina S.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara. And all those behind the scenes that are like the Wizard of Oz rescuing us as well. This is Sally A. in New York, recovered, and so happy to have an opportunity to share this morning. And so great shares this morning. Thank you so much, all of those who have opened their hearts and shared with us. I love that this paragraph starts, "We hope." And we do hope. We do have hope, which is really special. I, too, was raised in a family that somehow drilled into me that we don't share about money. We don't talk about sex in our lives. And we have this, you know, code of privacy that we don't even talk about what goes on behind closed doors in our family. that's, you know, the saddest thing is that there was so much abuse going on in my home growing up, so much physical abuse as well as emotional. And so we hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts. You know, I shared with a family member after Easter who I know is really struggling with weight. And, you know, I never have really talked openly with this particular cousin of my children. But this person I knew was really struggling, and I had to take a risk, especially because she's watched me go in the last 2.5 years from 250 pounds down to 160 pounds. And wouldn't ask me, but I just felt like I had to take the risk of just offering this phone number and not saying too much, because I think enough has been said, you know, where words are many, sin is not far. These things, you know, really speak to my heart as far as my words go. And one of the codes that I live by is, I don't want to cross boundaries, but a wonderful historian, St. Augustine, preached the word, preach the gospel, which is good news, use words if necessary. I feel like just sometimes you just have to take the risk of self-revealing accounts. Again, it talks about our hope is that many foodaholics, compulsive overeaters, men and women desperately in need, like I was, will see these pages, will hear me, will believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that they will be persuaded. So therefore, I must open up and I must believe that at some point I have to be honest and speak out. Yes, I am one of them too. Yes, what am I saying? I'm uncovering the problem. I am a food addict. I have struggled with food. I have had a hard time stopping and, quote, controlling this behavior, despite the fact that I thought I could control everyone else and I couldn't control me. And I finally had to surrender and practice these principles in all of my affairs. Thanks for letting me share, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks, Sally A. Tina S., you're up, and you'll be followed by Jennifer C.
Thanks so much, Barbara, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. You know, and I'm on that ditto of what a great meeting, great shares this morning, and so grateful that I feel like I belong in this group. It's a wonderful thing, you know. But one of the things that, you know, I thought about when I was reading the two paragraphs is, you know, I can remember reading the stories in the back of the book, and I don't know that I remember them talking so much about God, because I didn't come here to find a God. But what I do remember is people telling, you know, what it was like to them, you know, and what they were like now. The difference, what I heard, was a problem and a solution. And I didn't necessarily think about the God thing, but what I wanted was this thing. You know, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing, you know. And I love that the sharers are talked about fully disclosing ourselves. You know, I too came in here, you know, wasn't talking a whole lot about my life, you know, and that's the way I grew up. And I, you know, who knows if it was, you know, that day and age, or, you know, even today. But one of the things I tell sponsees today is you got to tell me what's going on. You know, the secrets we keep will keep us sick, you know, and that's my story, you know. And so today, you know, I have this thing one day at a time. If I continue to do the deal, you know, I work these steps like my hair is on fire still today. You know, because I continue, you know, I'm a person of more, and I want more of this. You know, if I continue to do what I'm doing, I'm going to continue to get what I'm getting. And that is a life beyond my wildest dreams. Not something that I believed when you all told me that when I first got here, but it's something I believe today because it's something that I live, you know. And this is some great stuff. I'm a great, I'm a satisfied customer, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Tina S. Florida. Jennifer C., you're up, and Susie will be followed by Suzanne D.
Hey, good morning. This is Jennifer C., recovered in South Carolina by God's grace and mercy and love and power and brilliance.
all the things that God is. So I didn't want to be one of them. I didn't want to be one of you. I didn't want to have this thing. I didn't want this thing to be a disease. And I didn't want this thing to be this solution. I wanted to be the special snowflake that has another thing, that she can do it a little bit differently, right? And I had this vision of a bunch of pill bottles laid out on my kitchen counter. I have a disease, right? Doctor's like, you need to take all these medications. You got to take them in the exact doses or you're not going to make it, right? And they're all laid out and I got to take each of them every day. And I'm over there going, well, I'm only going to take a half of this one. And today I'm going to skip this one. And I'm going to take double this one, but I'm going to skip this, right? And that's what I did for the longest time when it came to my abstinence. I just played around. I just wanted to be a little bit different. And the truth of the matter is, you know, what seems at first like a flimsy reed, what seems at first just like a food plan, what seems at first just like making calls, what seems at first just like following directions, what seems at first just like get your step work done, proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God working in my life, teaching me little by little by little by little, surrender, follow directions, stay low. How low can you go? Spiritual limbo. How low can you go, baby girl? You need me. You need me for everything. And you know, this word desperately in need, you know, I think about as we close out this chapter, I think about one of the first paragraphs in the chapter that talks about being like a passenger of a great liner the moment after rescue, the moment after rescue, the moment, how grateful I would be that moment after. And if I knew somebody rescued me, I'd want to tell everybody, like, and that's what I do. I say, God rescued me, and God wants to rescue you. And let me tell you how. And so the reality is I want to stay desperate every single day. I want to stay desperate to experience the power and the love of God that is promised to me in this book. And so I thank you all for being here with me. I thank you that I fully conceded to my innermost self that I was the real deal. And that is the beginning to taking the right doses of the right medications so that we can be recovered from this disease together. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jennifer C. Suzanne D., you're up next, and you're going to be followed by Betty Jean. Just do one last reminder of where we are today. We are on page 29 in the big book, third paragraph. We hope no one will consider going through the end of the chapter. You must have this thing. So, Suzanne D., you're up.
Hi, my name is Suzanne D. From Pennsylvania, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and thank you all for the service that you do at this meeting. The recovery here is just amazing, and it has helped me twice to get abstinent and recovered. And, you know, I came into this program, I don't know, over 20 years ago. And, you know, I look at this last line and I think, like, every time I left, it's because I convinced myself that I wasn't one of you, because I really never wanted to be one of you. Compulsive overeating isn't cool. It's not, because I'm in other fellowships, and those other fellowships were cooler. They were, and always, always, like, I left thinking I've got this. Like, not like I left thinking I want to eat sugar. I left thinking, oh, I can do this. I can control this. That self-reliance and control. And I have, thank you, God, a little over 11 months of abstinence this time around. And when I came in, you know, after the last relapse, I definitely identified, you know, I went through the book with a sponsor and I underlined this line. Yes, I am one of them too. But I can start to feel those little, that disease creep in the form of self-reliance. And I just wanted to share, to say out loud to all the people who have what I have, that I am one of you too, and I will never not be one of you too, because I think I need to hear that, and hopefully somebody else needs to hear that too. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Suzanne D. from Pennsylvania, and Patty Jean M., you're up next. You'll be followed by Pat H.
Thanks very much. This is Betty Jean, recovering with all of you, but I'm in Connecticut. very grateful for this reading today about self-revealing accounts. When I first came into program, I was amazed and kind of horrified at people speaking honestly about things that I had done and thoughts that I had and actions I had taken. They were talking out loud about things that I did not say except in a room to a therapist. And I was always alone with this addiction. I was completely isolated. It was me and the food and occasionally a therapist. in those stories, however, I heard honesty, I heard humility and hope. I heard those things. And at that point, I was not being honest with anyone in my life. I had terrible relationships with everyone because nobody wants a friend who's constantly lying, and I was. And I was lying to myself. I was lying about everything. So when people started to tell their stories and they started to be really brutally honest, and I saw that, you know, no one criticized them. No one rejected them in any way. I started to get honest in meetings, and I started to talk about those really hard things too. And, you know, it started in face-to-face meetings, and then after COVID, it went on Zoom. And so I started to hear from people like globally who were telling my story, who lived thousands of miles away from me. And we had this connection. We had this in common. And I wasn't isolated with the food anymore. I had all of you. I had so many people in my life who I could see had recovered. And I saw that the honesty was an integral part of that recovery, that the honesty was the linchpin of this program. And because of practicing honesty, and it's like a muscle that I had to develop and grow and strengthen. And because of practicing that, I was able to take that honesty outside of meetings. And now I'm able to be honest with people in my life. My relationships are 100 times better. And even my therapy works better. And my therapist said, like, you're doing so much better since you joined this 12-step program. I can see it. And, you know, therapy helped me, but I didn't put down the food. It was all the honesty, the hope, and the humility that helped me put down the food and all of you. And I'm very grateful for that this and every morning. That's why I come on every morning. So thank you all, and I'll pass.
Well, thanks so much, Betty Jean M. from Connecticut. Pat H., you're up, and you're going to be followed by Joy L.
Good morning. My name is Pat H. I live in Cape Coral, Florida. So for decades, I was saying to myself, what is wrong with me? I could not stop eating, could not stay on a diet, could not put down the food. And I was so desperate when I came into my first meeting. Excuse me. And my first feeling when I heard other people sharing was, oh my God, there's a name for this. And this is what I have. And I had great relief over that. That there were other people who did crazy things with food and lied about it and hid and stole and et cetera. So I was not the only one. And then my second feeling was, oh, crap, I have this. This is not what I wanted. I wanted a quick fix, an easy fix. But I was extremely grateful. I still am very grateful that I came to OA. That I actually, you know, someone said this morning, I didn't come to find God, and that is the truth. And almost left when I heard talk about a higher power and God, because that is not where I was at the point of when I came in. But today, that is where my focus is, and I'm extremely grateful that I have found a higher power and a God. And I just want to remind people too, that remind myself mostly, that the most favorite part of the Big Book is page 417, and acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. It's not about the food. It's about how I deal with life and how I deal with problems. And I have to accept that I cannot change people, places, things, and situations. I can only work on myself. And I'm so grateful that I've learned that through this program. So, yes, recovery and surrender and so many good things I've heard this morning. Thank you all for sharing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Pat H. from Florida. Joy L., you're up, and then we'll be taking another list. We should have a few more minutes. Joy L., you're up.
Good morning. This is Joy L. from Florida, and this is my first time sharing on this meeting, so I'm a little nervous, but I am not new to OA. And I have added this meeting, I guess it's within the last few months, and now I'm hooked. I'm pretty much listening every morning, and I feel like my program has just deepened so much from, I've just learned so much from all of the people here, and diving in much greater depth into these words that I've been blessed to be familiarized with for many years. But my story is I started back in 1981, and I was a junior in high school and already over 200 pounds. And I was looking deeply for a spiritual solution in the religion that I was raised in. And part of that is confession. And I would go there and, you know, be as honest as I could, as I understood to be. And, you know, what I got from that was, I think it just really more deepened the shame. And when they said, here, we hope that no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste, I was blessed to get to an OA meeting, and there was nobody my age there at that meeting. They were much older, and I felt this connection. It was the place I belonged. I didn't belong in, you know, all the different diet places I had already gone to by that age. My parents had tried everything they knew. They had their own eating issues, and so they gave me what they had to offer. And there were these pay places you would go to, and those people were older too. But when I went to OA, it was, oh, wait, there's something more. It's not just about the food. And even though it wasn't a strong meeting in hindsight, it was the first time that I felt part of something that really resonated at a very deep level. And so here I am 40 plus years later, and having been raised in these rooms. And I don't think there's any thought or action I've done that I haven't heard someone else share too. And it's just taken away the shame, which was such a driving force of my disease, the secrecy. And just really grateful and so thankful. It is not in bad taste. It is my place of that has saved my life, these stories, these self-revealing accounts, because it allows me to give my self-revealing accounts. And thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thanks so much, Joy L. from Florida, first-time sharer, and we're so glad you're here. Keep sharing.
Thank you.
I'm great. So, yeah, we have time for two more shares. So who would like those?
Adrian N. in Florida.
Hi, Kim. I'll share from Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut. Okay, great. Thanks, ladies. Adrian, you are up from Florida.
Hi, Adrian in Florida. Thank you. You know, I often wonder why I stayed all these years in the rooms, abstinent, not abstinent, feeling recovered, feeling like I'll never recover. I'll never have peace with food. And I realized that, like, I never knew what I was feeling. I never had the words to even express what I was feeling. And from staying here all these years and hearing other people share, I would say, oh, that's what it's called when you have this feeling, or that's what it's called when you have that feeling. And it has gotten me to a place to realize, like, I don't know, it's over 5 years, almost 6 years that my sponsor's been saying that she's a very visual person, and when she sees something, she wants it. And that hit me this vacation when I went home to my family for Passover, and I started seeing all the things that I never have even liked as a kid, and yet I was wanted this and I wanted that, and I even, you know, tried this and I tried that, and I was so triggered. If I wasn't in these rooms hearing other people share and knowing what other people did and how they escaped disaster, I would be back, you know, like in the, you know, the sewer again. And I don't want to go back into depression and self-loathing and feeling demoralized and being ashamed of my body or my size or any of that stuff. These rooms, these people sharing, are such service to me. They are like God with skin on, because I don't know how to express how horrible I feel when all I want to do is eat, and all I'm trying to do is not eat. And, you know, and I still feel like I'm not saying it the right way or strong enough or something, but it is such a horrible feeling not being interested in the people, just being interested in what's on the table, or what I can consume, or right, what they're consuming. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Adrienne N. from Florida, and Kim from Connecticut. You're up, and please give us your last initial.
Kim B.
Yeah.
I'm great. Grateful to be here, Kim B. from Connecticut. I'm going to share a little about my problem today, because I really see it. I've been in the program for years and years and years, and I never have learned what I've learned in the last 6 weeks from this big book. I woke up this morning at 3:00 in the morning, which I do sometimes, and I wanted to get up, but I stayed till 4:00, and I knew I didn't have a lot of sleep, which made me feel a little restless, irritable, and discontent. And I knew that in the back of my mind. And what happens? I start thinking about food. Oh, I think I'll have my breakfast now. I won't go, you know, out and do my walk. You know, I have the breakfast, and then I start thinking about it more, and the compulsion sets in. And usually that is the springboard to the insanity, the behavior, and then the remorse, the guilt, the resolution. But instead, I was driven to go on my knees for the last hour. I wash my floor on my knees, and I pray the entire time to be released from the obsession that has killed me. And, you know, my mind believes it. That mental twist is so ingrained in me, I don't even see it half the time. It just happens, and I'm out of control. And, you know, I want this more than ever right now. So after this meeting, I'm getting in my car a little early, and I'm going to go for my swim. And hopefully I will be restored to sanity. I need this program like I need air to breathe. I am the real deal. The bottom skid row drunk that was found in the barn and needs to be rescued. So I'm just grateful that I keep coming, and the cycle of compulsion and food behaviors is insidious for me. And I will pass. Thanks for letting me share. Oh, thanks, Kim B. from Connecticut. Great shares today, everyone. Thank you to everyone who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. I know there'll be more great sharing, so stand by for that. The share ID for today is, if you want to listen to it again, is 23349. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Judith S.P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, until ending with Keep You Until Then.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely need some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.
Yes.
May God bless you and keep you until then.